Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss.
And I'm Theovon.
And today we have a very funny guy with us. A guy who is very familiar with the Comedy Store and podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number one live podcast, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah. Kill
That's
Tony.
Crazy.
Yeah. We've been doing it for over 4 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's the voice of Tony Hinchcliffe.
Hi. Good to be here. It's been an honor.
Wait. So, okay. I have some questions just to jump off at this.
Yeah.
Because how do you find podcasting? Like, is it something that you find would be a lot of work? Do you find it a unique audience? Do you
all of it. I think we're so lucky to be living in this time where so many people are out there and listening to different things, and everybody's senses of humors are so different, and there's a little something for everybody out there. And you know, sometimes I wish I had more big gigs in this and that, but nowadays you can go and you can just create something and knock it out and let it grow and build itself, and then you know you get stuff out of it. It's weird. It's a very weird industry and business, but it's a fun for comedians. It's a good time to be a comedian. I love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't have television. They have television shows that don't get the viewership probably that you get on a weekly basis. And your show is, you know, 50 weeks a year probably. Mm-hmm. You know, assuming you take off for some holidays. And if you guys, some may be familiar with Tony. Tony's a writer for The Roast. He has a special on Netflix called One Shot. Right.
Yeah.
And a very funny comedian. I see him here a lot up at the store. But Tony,
you're getting points already.
Boom!
Wow.
Matt also prefers the love of men. If you want to,
all right, I'll give him one. For
oh, God, times have changed in this town.
That's great.
But the live podcast, I'm fascinated by it because you basically are, you're judging people that want to be comedians.
Yeah, sort of judging or just sort of trying to help or converse. Like, it's not really a competition. And the closest that we've come to like being able to develop it into a TV show, those network execs wanted it to be a competition and a winner and a loser. And I stood my ground on it because I think that stand up shouldn't be treated like that. You know what I mean? And all those shows that make winner and losers are never right anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause it's always like, I don't know. I just go back to immediately Dat Fan beating Ralphie May and then Ralphie May making 10 comedy albums. And Dat Fan being Dat.
Just still having Dat Fan.
He's got Dat Fan.
No, that's a joke. But Dat Fan actually has beautiful hair.
Dat Fan does?
Yeah. But he never, and Dat Fan never really caught on. It never was the reality.
Right.
A lot of those shows aren't the reality. Like you'll have.
Well, that's not only in comedy, in a lot of them. Well, you watch American Idol, and the most successful is Jennifer Hudson, who didn't win.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the people who won are in obscurity.
So I didn't want it to be that competitive of a show. Mm-hmm. And so it just sort of organically is like you get a taste of someone's stand up and then all of a sudden they're just a guest on a podcast out of nowhere. And 2 minutes before that, they were just sitting in the audience like a normal person, you know, wondering if they were going to get to go up. So I think the audience and the fans of the show sort of live vicariously through these people. Like, what would my 60 seconds be? I've listened to every episode. Now we're at like 240 or something crazy like that, an hour and a half long in front of a giant live, usually sold out audience. And now we just moved to the main room full time. We had like 200 people packed in there on Monday at 8.
That's so crazy.
Yeah,
it's just Matt,
getting
and
bigger.
So, and have you been to it, Matt?
No, I haven't been to it.
So I've been fortunate enough to be a guest. So they'll have Tony will be up there. He'll have a sidekick, which is Brian Redban usually. Yeah. And it's, some of these guys are some of the Death Squad guys, which is you know, in the whole kind of Joe Rogan camp or circuit. And they will have three like celebrity judges or friends of Tony's.
Yeah, usually two, like whoever's in town or whoever I notice has something to promote or something like that. Right. And it's just great for that because the fans of that show are some of the biggest comedy fans, I like to think, because they're listening to comedians talk to comedians at a different level about comedy.
Yeah.
So it's like just comedy on comedy, comedy. And I think it's great for everybody because those are the people wherever they live that listen to that show that are definitely going to see you live or whatever, you know what I mean? Whoever they to hear as a guest on that show being funny continuously, while those other people that get pulled out of the bucket are sort of like subject matter.
Hey, Theo, you know what?
What?
It's a new month.
Dude,
so that means new Loot Crate.
Loot Crate.
And August's Loot Crate theme is...
It is...
Kingdom.
It is?
Yeah, Kingdom.
I just got mine yesterday. I didn't open it yet.
Oh, I didn't get mine.
You didn't?
In this August Loot Crate, you'll find items from Legend of Zelda, Adventure Time, and The Lord of the Rings.
So it's probably going to be a good one. Legend of Zelda, I remember from growing up, and they've redone it over the years, and then I think it just came out with a brand new one.
Yeah.
Adventure Time, I'm not even familiar with, so I guess I'll learn about that.
Yeah, exactly.
But The Lord of the Rings, everybody knows about.
Are you a Lord of the Rings nerd?
I'm not a nerd, but I definitely, you know, I like my Lord.
And I like my rings. Yeah.
It's the best surprise that you know is coming. Loot Crate offers an epic range of like pop culture items and nostalgia items for less than $20 a month.
There are monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics and your favorite franchises if you go to Lootware.
Yeah.
So you get some clothes too.
Yep, Lootware. And if you want to geek out your pet, you can try Loot Pets. So imagine just having like a fun surprise box that comes every month. It's going to have great things in it for you or for someone you care about.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have like a kid or a family member or a friend, anyone who like you just want to kind of treat them to something neat every month.
Yeah.
They love nostalgia. Pick the nostalgia that's in their realm. Lootware, Loot Crate, Loot Pets.
I mean, and it's not over the top. It's easy. It's for items less than like $20.
Yeah.
And it is a great thing to get each month. So be the envy of your friends and get 100% exclusive. It's completely exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/allegedly. Mm-hmm. Enter the code Theo.
Yep.
When are we going to change that?
Ooh,
enter like the code Theo to save 10% on any new subscription.
Yep, that's it. Lootcrate.com/allegedly. Enter the code Theo, T-H-E-O. August Loot Crate theme is Kingdom.
And this offer expires August 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So you have to get in if you want the Kingdom Loot Crate.
Yep, get your Loot Crate now. It's every month it's different. It's a great surprise. I promise you. Try it out for a month. See what you feel.
Yes. That's lootcrate.com/allegedly. Code Theo.
You know, it's sort of funny. I've realized lately about that show because Jeremiah and Pat Reagan over there at the band has just been so fun that there's so many shows around in which it's like, hey, watch a stand-up, do improv. But that's what we're really doing. When the comedian isn't doing their 60 seconds, it's us just figuring it out, riffing like crazy.
Theo, were you a judge or were you a contestant?
Yep, I was a judge. I was a judge.
You're one of our favorite guests on the show.
Oh, really?
Thanks, man.
Who backs out when you before you call him?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, wow. Right. And so for the listeners, I want you guys to know because it's so bizarre. Like, so you'll sit there, they have a bucket, and then the audience is a couple hundred people, and a lot of them want to be comedians or they just want to be on stage, or some of them last time I'm here, there's people that had flown in from Connecticut. A guy throws his name in the bucket, him and his wife sitting there. This is like his dream to get up on stage at the Comedy Store.
Wow.
And throughout the show, they're going to draw just a series of people one at a time, and they come up and do 1 minute of stand-up.
And you can feel that, too, through them, pressure. Yeah. So by the time they're even saying, it's like, you know, I flew in from Connecticut for this, and my lovely wife is right there. You know, you can feel it, and the audience can feel it, and they're reacting, so the listeners have like these layers. I love it, man. I was lucky enough to, by the way, when 4 years ago when I was starting that, I'm like, oh, there's already so many podcasts just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're 2 years old. We just celebrated our 2 year anniversary. I can't believe we've gone 2 years.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
It happens so quickly once you build a fun routine. And that's the other thing about the podcast world is it's like, we don't even know its limitations yet. Right. It's just getting bigger. More people are starting to be able to realize they can have fun at work. They can kill two birds with one stone. It doesn't have to be, you know, Michael McDonald on your headphones or on your Bluetooth. You can laugh and maintain sense of humor while working, while doing chores, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's true. And I'm finding people are turning away because, I mean, mainstream television has become so a lot of it's political. It's not entertainment anymore.
A lot of it's bad as well. It's just bad.
But I think one of the reasons it's bad is because it's not just about entertainment. It's not just about let's be the funniest, you know. It's like, or let's be the most entertaining ever. A lot of things it feels like have to have this undertone. But I'll find even chicks, even hot chicks now, are like, I don't watch TV anymore. I listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Even hot chicks.
Yeah.
But they're the last to do anything fucking neat.
You're absolutely right.
You're the last to pick up.
Is that true?
I think so.
I agree completely.
You're the last to catch the fucking vibe.
But those hot chicks that are into podcasts are the hottest chicks. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Do you have podcast groupies?
Wow.
I mean, I mean,
tell us about it.
Well, I mean, you know, are there girls that are Big Kill Tony fans out there? There sure are.
And is
I don't know how to say it because I don't know which ones are listening right now. Just
but
kidding.
Tell us about that. No, there's podcast groupies. Are there, Tony?
There's podcast groupie girls. There's podcast groupie boys.
I made love to a woman who was on your podcast, who I think wanted to try and get on the podcast again. Now that I think about it.
And you were the way in?
Yeah, I guess. Is that why she's I was along the yellow brick road.
Whatever, man. Take what you can get.
I just remembered that. That's crazy.
And and that's another layer to it is when you do a podcast, you think about maybe where were comedians doing 15 years ago? 5 minutes set on Conan, playing a character on a sitcom. Yeah. Where's the connection? They don't know the real you at all. But all of a sudden, if you listen to all the episodes of Kill Tony and my appearances on other podcasts, which, by the way, there's like crazy apps now as this whole thing's getting bigger that have algorithms and stuff that literally take you that if you like this, you're going
to like that.
So,
yeah. And Laughable. Laughable is one of those that you can listen to. You can just type in somebody's name and you'll have all the appearances you've ever done.
And also, so that connection, if you go and you listen all those episodes, you know everything about me all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know everything about my hometown, my parents, all my siblings, my crazy background, everything.
Yeah.
The struggle starting out, the writing gigs, everything. They list in the podcast world, they can listen to your voice for hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Yeah.
So when you compare that to like back in the day when people thought they had comedy fans that went to their shows, it's like, oh man, I love you. Michael Richards is Kramer on Seinfeld. But that's not Michael Richards. You didn't know where he was from or what kind of words he used sometimes.
Well, we saw that.
But that was because of the internet. Yeah. That was right when it was starting.
What about homosexuality? Do you see a lot of that out on the road? There are a lot of like young males that come at you, or do you think that
I have a pretty good rapport with them. I do. I have a joke about that in my Netflix special about living in West Hollywood and how gay guys love me.
I can see that.
Total thing.
You see it, Matt?
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, you have great style. I really am digging the. It's very all American today.
Really,
I think red, white, and blue.
No, I think today, Tony, to me is like some of you jumped out of a plane. Took the most expensive Uber to get here.
It is a little greatest American hero, but.
I jumped the 405 on a motorcycle.
Yeah, he's a stunt. No, but I like it because it's something. He was a little stylish today with his black t-shirt and scarf.
Happy to be alive, dude.
Have you ever used the podcast to advance a relationship with someone? Meaning, have you ever put someone on stage or rigged it so that someone got on stage that you wanted to have get on stage?
No, in fact, I purposefully don't. I make a point to like make sure that I never do any favors for anyone, and I get that a lot from like people.
I'm sure.
You know who I get it from is people that like I haven't booked as a guest, but so they don't really know the show, but they think that I'm just giving people spots because they don't know the show. They don't realize that I have to put my hand in a bucket and physically pull a name out of a bunch of names. And they'll be like, hey, can you put my friend up? And it's always just, no matter who it is, I explain to them like, no, I don't ever do that. Once that starts, the floodgates will open up and everybody will get a favor. So I don't do it for myself. I always just keep it on the bucket. But we do always have regulars. Normally there was always two for the longest time, but now there's only one, and she's a monster. 21-year-old Allie Makovsky.
And
she writes and performs a brand new 60 seconds every single week. But they get that spot out of literally like we all just want to make each other look good. So she listens well, she works hard, she performs all the time, she writes every week.
Yeah.
So she's fun because she's literally just showing off new stuff, getting to work it out and build a fan base as she gets better. These people that are literally going to be like, I remember listening to you when you were 19 on Kill Tony.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is one of the coolest things for
us.
That's
really cool. And by the way, I have no problem with using, I use this podcast to bring in hot guests all the time.
Wow.
Don't I?
I'm going to add another point to you guys are now tied.
I do. When I go after certain people,
very honest.
I'm like, why not use it?
Yeah.
Last week
we just got one of our new producers, Anthony. So
yeah, Anthony's here.
That's really
it didn't even talk to him in the interview.
No clue what his future's going to hold.
Oh man. So Tony, by the way, you said in the beginning that there's a podcast for everything in comedy or whatever. What is it that you offer you think yourself? Like what kind of, how would you describe your own words?
I do it every Monday. That's why that show is that way. It's like, you know, I consider myself sort of a host that loves comedy. I'm a ridiculous comedy fan. That doesn't mean that I watch everybody's specials or really anybody's specials. I really honestly don't. But
did you see Theo's?
Maybe a few minutes.
Yeah, I loved it.
Hey, Tony, me too.
I literally don't watch anyone's. Anyone.
Oh, you watch your own.
What?
You watch your own.
I have not watched my own from beginning to end.
Yeah,
really?
Me neither.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
What's behind that?
Well, I think it's weird. It feels weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because you're self-conscious about it? Because you think you're going
to
judge
it?
I do this.
I always check to make sure that it's still there. Like, it's weird.
That's good.
It's funny having it there because I'm a huge Netflix fan, always have been. You know what I mean? And it's that's one of the coolest things, right? Is it's, you know, 10 years ago when I started, it was all about get your Comedy Central or HBO Hour and that's it.
Right.
That is the goal. Let's go. And all of a sudden, there's this cooler thing that came up, and I was with them back in Ohio when you had to send the disc back and all that. I was like on board. I always wanted to like buy stock. I would talk about it but never had extra money, and then boom 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 boom, all of a sudden it's the one thing that I use.
Hey guys, it's Theo. Got a question. What do you do at night? You just lay there in your bed? Doubt it. No, you sleep. That's right, you sleep. And what are you sleeping on? Do you even know? Do you even know what kind of mattress you're on? Well, I gotta tell you that the Casper mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. That's right, the internet's favorite mattress. Think about the internet. Think about what their favorite mattress is. Boom, it's Casper. You get free shipping and returns to US and Canada. So that means that it's free to try it out. You can try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. That's 100 nights. That's a pool full of drool if you want to drop it while you rest, and you know? And you can still send it back within that 100 nights. And right now, I got a deal for you. From Allegedly, I'm going to offer you $50 off your purchase. Just go to Casper.com/Theo, T-H-E-O, for $50 off any mattress order. That's right, Casper.com/Theo for $50 off any mattress order. You're going to love it. Go there. Boom.
My button on my living room remote right at the top is a big red Netflix logo, and I hit it and it comes on. And
you check to see if yours is, because
sometimes I like that.
No, I do too. I have some movies and stuff, and you get this like weird fear, like, oh, maybe they took it off this week. You know? And then what am I going to do?
Right. It's just always surreal. That part's weird to see it like in the description and the whatever, you know, it just looks like a special.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. But and one thing I also find fascinating about you is the roast writing is, I would imagine, one of the hardest things to do as far as writing. I mean, I would say like writing on a sitcom is probably much easier than writing these things because you've got to be original, clever, not cross a certain line, not come across as too offensive, but be offensive in the same time. I imagine it's a very like delicate thing to do.
It is a definitely very in-demand writing job. It's the job that pretty much I think a ton of writers want to do. Yeah. Pretty much for the experience because of how fun and unbelievable that room is. It's really all of the best roast minds. Like it goes even beyond like the comedians that we know. There's roast writers that are freaks. My buddy Mike Ferrucci is a legend. Like, he is a gun for hire, to where even I bow down. Right. And literally, he's, you know, a god. He's a roast god.
Right.
You know, there's the people that we know, Jeffrey Ross, Don Rickles, and every once in a while, there's these people behind the scenes that are gurus that were built for it. And I've always had a little bit of that in me from being raised, it's a cheesy story, but being raised in a tough, you know, all black neighborhood, it was one of those things that either made me cool to people, or I used as a defense mechanism. If somebody, I was sort of a little guy growing up. And so I would use it to like fend off haters or keep people liking me, you know, make fun of people.
Yeah.
Either get them to love me or fear me a little bit. So I'm just sort of lucky because I got to get into that game. Yeah. Literally all my teachers were like, where's being mean ever going to viewers being mean to people ever going to get you? And I'm like, dude, I'm in the Writers Guild.
And do
6 years ago.
Do you have a heart?
I have a huge heart.
Do
that's
you?
Where it. Yeah, absolutely. And that's where it. I mean, I'll bet you if you ask any of
sometimes you seem like the dark arts a little bit.
Totally. And I do. But there's a flip side of that. You know, just like with anything, there's an opposite reaction. And I think a lot of people should flip it. Sometimes, you know what I mean? It's like you see these people that are so fucking nice all the time in person, overly jolly.
Yeah.
Me and you, it's a locker room here, right?
Yeah.
We fucking give a half a high five, a slap on the butt. We're walking, we're talking other things. We're both running our things. And sometimes there's people in which it's like some people are so overly nice here, and you know.
At the Comedy Store he's talking about.
Right. Or in anything or in life. And it's like, how are you?
In this town.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes they save their flip side for at home. Maybe they get there and they get mad.
Yeah, slaves are in your basement. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They get angry or whatever, whatever's bothering them, but they put on their front outside. Sometimes
beating a dog or something,
but it's really the opposite with me. You know, I'm very, very like, you know, me and my friends are crazy. I just took them all to Joshua Tree last week and, you know, paid for this really cool, like, it's basically a festival. Like, it was just a giant party house with another house and a giant pool and six trailers. And I just took five of my buddies out there. Everybody had a huge setup and it was all crazy. And, you know, I take my but I mean, I don't know why I'm like bragging. I'm like doing
you're just trying to share things that make you feel good and things that, you know, kind of are the other side of that coin.
I call my mom almost every day, you know, all this stuff. It's like, you know, there's a flip to everything. And that's why I sort of like to embrace, you know, the dark side a little bit. I'm also a fan of villains in movies. Like, I think nothing gives me the chills more than Cersei on Game of Thrones. You watch Game of Thrones?
Not right now. Well, she's too scary for me after the fourth season. Well,
you think whenever you quit was scary. This shit's wackadoodle right now.
Damn.
Emperor Palpatine, the Joker. Like, these are my people. This is some of the art that I have hanging up in my place because I'm sort of pro bad guy. But every bad guy, you know, there's like a different side on the inside.
Aww. That's cute.
Sometimes
another gay guy hitting on you in this neighborhood.
Giving him a point
like
for that.
Wow.
One. He likes
that?
The cute villain
That's
thing.
That's cute. That's very sweet.
Now, what is it you think that attracts men to you then, do you feel like?
I think it's it's all evolved for me. I was always a poor white trash kid that didn't have clothes that fit and this and that. And, you know, it's just different now. I have a little bit of a knack for style. I found out from a couple ex-girlfriends about good face lotions and, you know, I have a,
well, that's the key to our hearts.
I'm just sort of like clean cut and, I think being raised sort of pretty much by a single mom and two older sisters, even though I had two older brothers, they were off to college a lot as soon as I was growing up and able to communicate. And so I think I have sort of a feminine-esque delivery and sort of style a little bit, if that makes sense.
Malleable. You seem kind of malleable, but strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, you look at Rogan's whole crew and I'm the one that gets called the F word. You know what I mean? It's
fancy.
Like,
and we'll say fancy.
Right. Skinny. I'm skinny. I shower on all fours. There's a lot of things that make people call me gay.
That's hilarious.
Are you working? Is there any roast coming up? or anything that you can tell us?
No, I don't know of anything right now. Those things happen every year, so spur of the moment. It literally, it's like a war or something like that. You never know when it's going to happen. You never know why. You never know.
Right, like
the only one
time?
That sort of made sense, the only one that we sort of had an inkling because it just seemed so perfect, was Charlie Sheen when it was happening and he was having this meltdown and he was friends with Jeff Ross and he was doing his tour. And
it just seemed like it was natural.
There was this thing happening where I think we had a couple months like, whoa. And it was the most watched and, in my opinion, probably the best roast ever.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why, is because we had a couple months that we normally don't have of like, oh my God.
Who's your ideal candidate?
All the biggest people in pop culture. You give me a Kardashian or Kanye, Mayweather, McGregor, anyone who's sort of like, the more they're in the zeitgeist, a Barack Obama.
Who's that?
Yeah.
We could do a Trump for the second time. Look at that. And that was the first one I wrote for, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And did you get to meet the Donald?
No, because he was in New York and I was still the rookie out on the West Coast, just happy to be emailing in. I didn't get to go to that one.
And is it tough? So like guys like Jeff Ross, obviously, you know, like the roast gets put on his shoulders a lot of times. He's the roast master general. Mm-hmm. I mean, these days there's a lot. I mean, but the roast has been around for a long time.
Totally.
Is it tough like letting jokes go and having other people get the credit for them sometimes? What's that like?
Because
would fucking hurt my feelings.
It's a really interesting question, because when it started, I was I had a tear in my eye. At that point, I was in a studio apartment with three roommates. That's zero bedrooms, one bathroom. With three roommates in a studio. Yes, yeah. We had bunk beds. Mac Lindsay and his girlfriend were on the bottom bunk. Ugh. I was on the top bunk.
Oh, you were with a couple nonetheless.
Oh, you were the
lookout. And there was another one. And Sean Halpin, great comedian from Texas, was in just on a normal bed over there. Like, it was literally like a Marine lodge for comedians that worked at the Comedy Store. And when I saw, you know, Jeffrey Ross say a joke that I wrote and it was on Comedy Central at that podium with their logo in the corner, I mean, it was on like Donkey Kong, the greatest feeling in the world. But I think as that goes on, and then I sort of realized, wow, like it is a skill and I have a real knack for it. It gets more and more every year. Like, I don't even know if I think I might be holding out and be done sort of writing on roast now, because it's gone full circle. You know,
yeah.
I'm ramping up for my second special taping here in September. Ooh. And having those kind of roast skills, especially I roasted Snoop. Yeah. Did you ever get to see that?
I saw
the coolest thing I ever did. Probably even cooler than my special.
I heard about that though.
Yeah, I got to roast Snoop, and there's a cool 10-minute clip on YouTube called Tony Hinchcliffe Roast Snoop Dogg, and I'm so proud of it. It's, you know, I really, really had some fun. All black audience.
Really?
All black dais, and Paul Rodriguez too. He was the only other non-black guy.
When you were transported back to home when you were growing up.
And were you called like a wigger or anything like that, or were you treated pretty much respectfully, you feel like?
This motherfucker over here, I don't even know why he here. Like,
yeah.
I got that all.
All of that
somebody,
shit.
One of these things ain't like the other. A lot of
yeah.
that. Would you here to arrest us? Or whatever the hell.
Yeah, look at this little white muffin over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did anybody say that?
I think, what's her name?
Nell Carter?
Lunel. I think Lunel called
Lunel
me.
Lunel was there.
Look at you, you little white muffin. Yeah. She's the best. I made her fall off.
She also sounds like Eddie Murphy.
From the club, from like the night professor. Dude,
Lunel will not, she will not even talk to me anymore because I've called her Cisco every time I've seen her. And she said it just hurts her feelings.
I roasted her good on that. I told her she's one of the best. She's always working on her craft. Macaroni and cheese.
She was
one of our early ones.
She was sitting next to French Montana.
Oh, geez.
And I said to her, I go, Lunel was excited when she found out French was going to be here until she found out it wasn't the dressing.
Now, something like that, is that something that you worked hard on to get
very
that?
Hard? Okay. In fact, just to show you how crazy I am with all this shit, on that one specifically, I produced that and wrote for everybody else.
Right.
Literally for the YouTube clip of that. And so the opportunity and everything, part of my deal to be on this roast with more probably slightly established celebrities and Paul Rodriguez was literally to help them. They all knew I was a roast writer that was, you know, not getting a on-screen chance, sort of. So that reel, my point is I'm pretty sure that I might be, you know, retiring from the big roast writer's room, because between all of my established work and all this stuff that I'm doing with my stand-up and that reel now, like, it's like I'm able now to literally be like, this is it. Yeah. This is what it looks like, me behind a podium.
Let's do it or let's don't.
Right.
Yeah. Just like jokes like that. Does that come naturally to you? Do you just, does it like?
Yes, it does. I'm going to answer that one.
I believe that. Could you do it on the spot? Could you roast Theo? Like, do things come into your mind? Like, just
it
regularly?
It sort of has to be like, you sort of have to poke me in order to,
is that an invitation?
I mean, if Theo wants to,
I'm not watching y'all fuck, dude. If Anthony gets a referee, or at least be in there without a shirt, I'll go in the other room and watch y'all, dude. Because I like to watch somebody be awkward while two other people are fucking.
Theo's getting a point for that. You guys are tied 3-3 right now.
So I heard, Tony is, will go, I just as an outsider, just even watching, has this uncanny ability to go just right to this painful spot sometimes.
Let me give you an example of what you might be talking about here. Okay. So a couple weeks ago, I have to grab something out of my apartment. I live in a very, very, very busy part of Hollywood. I'll just say it, right next to the Grove. Mm-hmm. Okay, just banging near Fairfax and 3rd. Traffic's crazy. So sometimes if I just have to get something, I pull up right behind a car, I'll half block a driveway for a second. I'm in and out in 20 seconds. I only do that if I know I'm in and out in 20 seconds. I pull up behind this car. I'm not even blocking a driveway or anything. It's not an actual spot, but it's one of the parts where the curb goes down, but it's a sidewalk walkway. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I pull up behind this little tiny black Prius. I remember I put on my hazards, I run in, grab a joint or whatever it was, come back to my car. And as I'm walking up to my car, literally 25 seconds has gone by. I see that there's an old man putting bags in his trunk of that small black Prius that was in front of me. All of a sudden, I'm like, I didn't want to scare this old man. I could tell he was old as I'm coming up from behind him. So I'm sort of like, hey, man, hey, how are you? Just want to say hi, because it was coming up, you know, just all happening fast. I was being nice. Nice guy, Tony. Right? Yeah. I'm telling you.
NGT.
There's a nice guy there. You see business Tony a lot that like, is on a mission.
BT
during the day. BT in the morning, BT in the noon. So BT is trying to warn this nice old guy that I'm coming up behind him, and he turns around and he goes, you're really up on my ass, man. What is this? That's not even a spot. I mean, he just starts sort of going, and it's okay. Again, nice guy, Tony.
Yeah.
You know, just chilling, BT, everything's good, Bluetooth in it. I'm absorbing it. There's the balloon is small. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know how you have those cheap balloons and good balloons sometimes? Sometimes the cheap ones go pop immediately. I have a little bit of a good one, but I'm absorbing it. It was filling quick because he just started going. Just like, he was like puking. You're on my ass. This isn't even a spot. How long were you there? What are you even doing? Your hazards? I'm literally like, dude, I just went into my house real quick for 20 seconds. I just had to grab something. You okay? He's like, I'm not okay. How are you okay about this? I'm like, do you even live around here, man? What's going on? He's like, do I need to live around here? Is that a qualification for if I'm allowed to complain about your car being up my ass? I go, dude, you need to chill, man. And now at this point, I'm like now opening my door. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Get into the daddy's car that daddy bought you. Right? Because I sort of have a nice car for the first time in my life. The guy that spent half a decade crashing on couches and beanbags and shit and fucking you, studio apartments with four guys. I finally have my apartment and a car. And nice car. So when he said that, I'm telling you, a special twitch. Daddy's car? I've never gotten this, Theo. I've never gotten that. I've said that
that to people. But I've never gotten it. I've never had somebody say, oh, yeah, get in a car that daddy bought you and drive away.
Who says that?
Oh,
Jesus.
And it was on at that point. I go, oh, yeah, buddy. It was just over. This poor old man, too. Oh, he had pepper spray out that he pulled out. He goes, you see this? And he put it back in his pocket. But I go, you know what, buddy? Daddy didn't buy me this car. I got this car by working hard and chasing my dreams and having fun. You know why? Because I don't want to be an angry old man with a fucking Prius. Just full dark. Like, that, like you know, like Anakin, like turned into freaky looking. You know when you go full dark side, I have red eyes, pale skin. All of a sudden, as my veins are protruding,
so that I don't end up being an old man with a fucking Prius.
Wow, this burnt him.
Angry,
split into him.
Angry old man with a Prius. It was all, and it's all just the truth.
Yeah,
it was all right there the whole time.
How did he respond to that?
Oh, I drove away slowly while staring right at him, and he just keeps going, your mom's a cunt, your mom's a cunt, your mom's a cunt. How he knew that, I have no idea, but.
Oh, man. So you're about to go on the Monster Energy Outbreak Tour, correct?
Yeah, I just saw these dates, you and Jeremiah Watkins,
it's
right?
It's crazy. Yeah, I got Jeremiah getting the party started, and I'm super excited about that. That's one of the things I'm most pumped about this whole thing, other than it being my, you know, I go out pretty much every weekend anyway, normally to different places, but this is Tuesday through Sunday and then fly back here on Monday, do Kill Tony, fly out again on Tuesday, basically all the way to mid-September, starting August 2nd, all around the country.
Wow.
Pretty much all cities I've been to before, so there's a little bit of a market there, but I'm trying to get everybody out and doing everything that I can to do that because it's the biggest tour of my life and I'm so pumped.
That's awesome, man.
Is it all work or is it fun? Like,
oh, it's fun.
Is it gonna
it's
be
all work now? All the, you know, I mean, like doing, like, you know, press and having to stay on my social media and really promote it. And I don't really like giving jokes away on social media. So now I'm just not joking on social media and plugging shit twice a day.
Yeah.
So that part's sort of the work, but once August 2nd clicks around, I mean, I'll still obviously be posting about where we are and where we're going, but that's the reward is those crazy shows.
Is it going to be like party central kind of on this tour or
and that's something that I, you know, had to think of while trying to figure out who I wanted to go on the road with me. And Jeremiah is actually the most reserved out of all of my friends. It's pretty much just water and pizza with that guy, but he's the most positive, probably one of the funniest. So he won the spot off that because I'm actually looking to really make this about the work.
Yeah.
Really about the work. Yeah. I want this next special to really, 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 really be good. And I'm really putting a lot of focus on that. In fact, I was going to do it a few months ago, but then I found out about this and literally I'm like, let's just keep doing surgery. Maybe I'll even make massive changes, restructure every, who knows what can happen, but I'll definitely know how it's already fun for me. I already think that I could do it.
Yeah.
But I really want to do something special
here.
And
you said, when are you doing the special in September?
September, yeah.
And when is that? When do you have like a estimated time of release?
No, okay. I don't have an estimated time of release yet. We're just locking in the shoot dates now.
Cool. Do you want to tell what cities some of those are so that our listeners will know?
For the Monster Energy Outbreak Tour?
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. We're going to have so much fun. St. Louis, Cleveland House of Blues, Gramercy Theater in New York City, the night of the Mayweather-McGregor fight. Why spend money on the Mayweather-McGregor fight in New York City when you can come see a live comedy show the one night only at Gramercy Theater?
Wow.
Yeah, that's
risky, isn't it?
We had locked in the date and then they announced the fight for that night.
Oh.
But we'll see, you know.
You're big into that stuff, right?
Yeah, totally.
Well, I'm curious what you think about the Floyd and, well, specifically McGregor's, you know, dropping certain terms. And it's kind of become ridiculous. Even it's I don't know. It's gone over the top for me. In that showmanship.
They come from different cultures, man. And like, you know, I remember specifically watching the first press conference live and I saw Conor Mayweather doing his strut and everything out in front of Mayweather or McGregor, and he literally goes, "Dance for me, boy, yeah. dance for me." And right then and there, I literally was like, "Oh, people are going to be pissed about that." But I have seen McGregor literally say those words to Mexican Nate Diaz and right. Mexican American Eddie Alvarez from New York. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the dance for he's that. In Ireland, people are like that. And in Mayweather's camp, if you think they ain't throwing around that word, the F word,
right?
They are. Yeah. I promise you that.
Well, you said it on stage. I thought that was kind of crazy to see. And there was no uproar about it.
I know.
Why was that, you think, Matt?
I think black people can say it. You want me to say it? And I want to jump in on that one. I think black people are allowed to say that word.
I don't think that's really fair, though.
I don't think it's fair, but I think that's how it is.
Really?
Well, yeah, what other reason would there be if anybody else would have said that? Ostracized.
Because in our society, black people have been called the worst word. The N-word is, I think, ranked, power ranking amongst white people. Yeah. Probably the worst word. With the F-word slightly close, right?
Yeah.
C-word? Which, what do you guys think?
C-word is kind of a party word now.
Yeah, it is. And especially, they use that positively in Australia.
They say see you next Tuesday now, which is stands for that. It's become an acronym.
I've never heard
which
that.
Which is really cute, actually.
You obviously don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Jeez.
Oh, man. It's really
it's kind of a cute acronym for it. I'll give it that. But yeah, I think the N-word is probably more... it's probably the word that has the most connotation to certain people, you know, for sure.
So who are you backing in the fight?
I love fighting. I think if it goes longer than four rounds, Mayweather's going to win. But I think McGregor's going to do something weird and special. And I think if Mayweather loves money as much as I think he does, then he knows that the rematch is the best way to do this. So,
if
someone accidentally falls in the fourth
right.
and ends up making another $150 million, I don't think he would be... predisposition to be that upset about that.
Yeah, they say it's going to bring in $1 billion.
It's crazy. Someone on social media asked us to ask you, are you going to apologize to Cyborg and give her a hug?
Is she here?
No.
That'd be great.
It's like, this is your life.
Because you made some comments, right?
Yeah, and I made a joke in the moment. It was a high pressure situation, but it's one of those things to where I don't think I really did anything wrong. She's a public figure, and Joe Rogan on a podcast that we were taping sort of threw me into a tough position, and I made a joke. I'm a comedian. Cyborg's a public figure. She took steroids, which is illegal, and it makes you a man. So I made a joke about her being a man because she's failed steroid tests in the past.
Would she test positive for being a woman these days, do you think?
Yeah. Probably, maybe. It depends.
Don't but put him so in another much. Situation. Oh, where
there's no way to know.
Well, first of all, she goes by Cyborg.
I know.
When I was young, that was a major thing to make fun of someone.
I'm telling you. I just think that there's something that bugs me about a woman taking steroids and fighting other women. Because one of my favorite fighters is strawweight champion of the world, Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Yeah, I love that.
And the thought
I
of
saw the picture of you
her getting beat up.
Yeah, y'all look similar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thought of her getting beat up by somebody cheating on steroids, knowing the work that she puts into it, all the bowls of fruit that she eats per day and stacks of kale.
Oh, cantaloupe is disgusting. Let's be fucking real about that.
Cantaloupe?
Yeah. It's basically something rotten. It's like rotten. It's a little bit rotten.
Cantaloupe described that way.
Cantaloupe is disgusting.
What do you eat? The outside?
Honeydew melon? Honeydew? This stuff is gross.
I don't think you're eating cantaloupe. I don't know what you're eating.
Just
but
angry. But you think it's unfair. Somebody's got to stand up for it. It's weird. It's like there's kind of like no voice sometimes that can be against women at all.
Right. I mean, it's so bizarre. Everybody like talks so highly about the show Girls. You ever seen it?
Piece of shit.
Right. Garbage.
Yeah.
You seen it?
No.
It's a garbage pile. Anthony, you seen it? It's a garbage pile. Yes, he agrees. He shook his head yes. What's my point?
Wait, I've seen Showgirls the movie.
No, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now that one's one of my favorites.
Yeah, for the music.
Versace. Versace. She thinks it's called Versace.
Oh, really?
It's really Versace.
I've seen
Well, let me finish my point real quick.
Okay.
Yes, no,
is
sorry.
That, but you don't hear people outgoingly talking about how terrible that show is. You want to know why my theory on it is?
Why?
It's because it's called Girls. girls sucks, girls is bad, everybody would be in uproar.
Yeah.
I saw a show, I saw a tweet for a show in my Twitter feed yesterday about it's 50 women all on the same show doing jokes about being a lady or something like that. 50 different ladies all at once hosted by this one lady. And I'm literally thinking, these are the 50 ladies that complain about probably men taking up every lineup. Now they're doing a lineup with 50 ladies and no men on the lineup.
Yeah, to show that. It's ridiculous.
It's all so bizarre and mixed up to me. Like, there's the hypocrisy.
Yeah,
and
there's
it's
a
just
lot
so,
of double standard hypocrisy. For yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
But I girls sucks and nobody talks about it. There's a weird thing
going on. Well, because the industry wants it. The industry right. thought that Lena Dunham was going to be some kind of like champion and a lot of girls would cater to that. I mean, feminism to me became this huge marketing tool that, you know, a lot of like Schumer, Dunham, like a lot of those, this big push that a lot of these women were making money off of.
Going back to the nice guy, bad guy thing earlier and me saying that people, I think, give off a perception of being nice sometimes. It's every once in a while, and I never do this, but sometimes I'll glance at Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't ever do anything. If anything, if I have to do some plug or something, whatever, I'll do it. But I almost never read it. But when I do, I mean, it's just filled with these people that are blatantly trying to give the perception of, you know, oh, I can't believe anyone would do this. This is so bad. You know, pray for these people. I'm praying for these people. I'm praying for these people. This is bad. I can't believe what is this kind of society do we live? It's all the same crap. And it's like, what are you trying to show? You're praying for something?
Yeah.
Well, why? Go pray.
Why do you need to tell everybody about
it? Yeah, it's this crap. And those are all the people I'm like, now you're shady as fuck. You're shady as fuck. I'm knocking them off.
Yeah.
It does the reverse to me.
Yeah.
It hits me the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the one good thing now is that people are starting to be starved for something that is a little bit more real.
Yeah. You know? I think so too. I just actually saw a great tweet yesterday because Lena Dunham's in the new American Horror Story. She just got cast in the new season.
Mm-hmm. And she's playing herself.
It's, I don't know. It said what?
She's playing Cyborg.
It said, what the fuck happened to American Horror Story? And it said Jessica Lange to Lady Gaga to Lena Dunham.
Ugh.
The death of American Horror Story.
Oof. Yeah.
But
yeah, that, I mean, Jessica Lange is insane. And that's an amazing talent. I mean,
and then Lady Gaga.
No, Lady Gaga's. She's entertaining, but she is what she is.
Yeah. She won an Emmy with that, right?
Yeah, she did.
She's an amazing artist. I saw her live once at Kimmel.
Who, Lang or Gaga?
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And I don't really listen to her much, but live.
You must have some cool celebrity stories.
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have
anything
a lot of
recently?
Fun ones. I met Roger Waters, the creative force behind Pink Floyd. And he's like the guy that nobody gets to meet. And most of the people's rock stars that they want to meet and stuff like go up to him and are super starstruck. And I got to meet him and he literally is one of my biggest influences. He's sort of a villain type, super creative, super writer guy that loves control and believes in himself a lot. And, it was very surreal. Saw him live. It was the best seats I've ever had for a Roger Waters show. I used to, I saw him once in Cleveland like 11 years ago, super broke, spent all my money on it and had up in the nosebleeds and seven years ago, went and took Matty Edgar to go see him because Matt turned into a big Pink Floyd fan because he heard me listening to him a lot, spent all my money then on two tickets for us to sit in the nosebleeds. And this time I rolled in with my great friend Tall, who's she's an amazing, one of the best bass players in the world. She plays for The Who and Jeff Beck, and over the last few months we've become really close friends, and she's a freak. She's literally one of the best bass players in the world.
Wow.
She loves stand-up comedy. So she remember the first time I ever met her, I go, oh, you play bass? And I do this with anybody who I've ever met that I find out plays bass. I go, oh, you play bass? You a fan of Roger Waters? Because he's my favorite musician. And she actually remembered that. So when Roger Waters came to the Staples Center a few weeks ago, she's like, hey, Roger Waters is at the Staples Center in a week. Want to go? She hit me up out of nowhere. I'm like, yeah, I'll set that night away completely. And we went. We picked up our tickets. It was ridiculous. Literally like row 5 right down the middle.
Wow.
Ridiculous. And
was he cool?
There was a little press pass thing that we had, the little sticker. And I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen with this. But it was so cool. Afterwards, we got to meet the rest of the live band and everything. I mean, you know, just everybody's hanging out and everybody's going up to Tall because she's this gigantic rock star. Like, I sort of didn't realize yet at this point how big of a rock star she was, but all of the lead guitarists and all these people that do David Gilmour's roles and all these other crazy musicians are going up to her like, blah, 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 blah. And then somebody came over and basically was like, you know, Tall, someone wants to meet you over here. And like, we blatantly knew that in that other room, who that other person wasn't at that thing was.
Raji Wadi.
And it was crazy.
Was it cool?
I literally looked at him right in his eyes and she introduced me. She goes, "This is my good friend and comedian, big fan of yours, Tony Hinchcliffe." And we shake hands and I looked at him right in his eyes and he's tall, powerful, big, wavy hair, silver, big chiseled British face. I mean, everything's like 20 times star power, like superpower. And I looked at him right in his eyes and I go, "Thank you, man. I'm an artist because of you." And he looked right at me and he goes like, "Oh, that's cool." And then he went back to talking Tall. But it was powerful.
Did you feel like you had said too much and you should have been a little more chill?
Yeah. Did immediately. It's one of those funny things you don't know, right?
Like, it's going to go either way.
You want to hear it? I even went a little bit stupider. Probably trying to survive the tailspin. A few minutes later, after they're going back and forth about music, she goes to him. She goes, "What do you have coming up next?" He goes, he goes, "Well, yeah, we're here until Saturday. Then we get on a jet to Texas and then 3 nights in different Texas cities until we go to Florida." And I go, "Oh, I was just in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago. It is hot there right now." And I joke you not, he literally goes, "Oh, I think it's about time I go rest my voice for the night."
No.
We were cracking up.
What a great musician excuse, by the way. I gotta go rest my voice.
That's so funny. We had this whole talk on the way home. I go, "That's the most brilliant thing. I'm totally using that from now on."
And do you think he actually like puts like small pillows around his throat and stuff like that? Could you see him doing that?
Go to sleep. It totally backfires. Resting my voice.
That's pretty
fast. That's a cool story. That's a good one.
I appreciate you being candid about it too. That's so real, man.
You know that shit never goes the way you want it to.
Never.
No.
100% of the time. But if you don't give a fuck, that's the person, you know, you work with forever.
Dude, I was at a show in House of Blues last night in San Diego with one of the Impractical Jokers, and he was telling me that Gary Busey one time sent them a letter, okay? And they had two shows coming up like in maybe Anaheim or something. And he goes, "Just letting you know I'm going to be there and I'm going to rush the stage." Right? This is what Gary fucking Busey said to him. Like, "What the fuck?" Gary Busey said he's going to come and rush the stage, right?
Yeah, a handwritten letter or like an email?
Handwritten letter.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So, dude, they go and they have no idea what to expect, right?
They probably don't even know which one of the two shows, right?
So in between, there was a big meet and greet for people, like some guests and friends of theirs, about 100 friends. And Busey was there, right? He goes, and Busey's over in the corner. And my buddy Sal, he's like, you know Sal Vulcano.
He's
the best. And he's like, Busey comes running right up to him. He's like, "Hey, man, I made this for you." And it was like a poster that he had made. It was just some fucking weird poster with like some acronym that he had made up about Sal, like some weird thing. Sal had no idea, like wasn't even in this whole universe of it. And then later, he said Busey took one of his co-hosts on this Impractical Joker show, pinned him to the ground in the corner of the room, and kept tickling him until the guy was furious. And then they had to have fucking Busey leave.
Wow.
And dude, he tells it like it's just the most common Busey story ever.
It probably is. Jeez.
And he said the poster was laminated. He said that Busey like loves to laminate stuff. And that his wife was there, and she's always there about 5 feet behind him. And she, anytime he gets out of line, she's just like, "Gary!
Yeah.
No." So wild, bro.
She squeezes her head as she squeezes her head out of her laminated top.
"Gary, get back in your lamination." All right. Well, I think that wraps it up. Unless you have any other questions you want to ask him?
No, I don't, man. I appreciate your time. Tony, I love what you do, man. Thank you for coming on and helping us laugh.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I love you. We work together all the time. It's a pleasure getting to work with you and grow and push each other. It's fun that we're different, yet aggressively workaholic. So.
But yet, who brought you on the podcast to promote your...
I am going through the Monster Energy outbreak. People set me up with a little schedule.
I'm saying this was me.
Oh, it was you.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
It was not Theo. So when you think of your points,
wow,
you know what?
Guy.
I'm going to give you one for that.
Obviously, got to take what I can get at this point.
Unbelievable. How this guy milks points out of people.
Hey, you do what you got to do.
The point milker, dude.
And the Jewish guy.
Yeah.
Jesus, so we tied. Dude.
Nope.
No.
That is 5 here for Matt, and Theo came down with 6.
Oh man.
Wow, finally a clean win for
His
me.
His good question about do you smoke pot while hanging out with ladies? And it sort of made me realize that's one of the only times that I don't.
Okay.
Slow it down.
I like to keep the focus on the I like to keep the blood flowing to the old weenie.
Yeah, dude.
I like to use that part of my body with the ladies.
Well, it's different that how it's different for different people, because for me, it would increase blood flow.
Interesting.
For me. Yeah. Would you hit on a guy like Tony if you saw him out and about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would. Depending on
awkward in here.
I would.
Let me get Anthony in here with some butter. Huh?
He's like minus. It would depend, honestly.
Because you're his type, though, is what I'm saying, dude. I've seen him draw pictures of his type, and like, you know.
It would depend. I'd
like to see some of these drawings of your types. I need a new tour poster for the Monster Energy Outbreak tour.
You know what? So. I'll laminate them and I'll bring them to you.
That's perfect.
Gary laminate them for us.
It would depend on. I'd have to see the group of guys that he was around.
By the way, let me just say,
me to come over.
I'm going to interrupt. That's the move, by the way. Send Gary Busey something, but instead of having him sign it, just be like, "Hey, man, can you laminate this for me?"
Lamination's the new signature.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Theo, on your win.
Yeah, thank you. About time to get one. Thank you for bringing Tony on. Make sure he gets here. And the Monster, tell us about the tour again.
It's the Monster Energy Outbreak Tour. Cleveland, Los Angeles, it closes out here at the Comedy Store September 5th. It's Tony Hinchcliffe and Friends, Portland, San Francisco, North Carolina, South Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, New York City, Providence, Rhode Island, Asbury Park, New Jersey, Pittsburgh. Indianapolis, Detroit.
And what can people expect from this?
A lot of fun. My hardest, I think it's my best work yet by far.
Covington, Kentucky?
Mm,
are you in Covington, Kentucky?
I'm doing Huntington, Alabama.
Oh, you are?
I think
Huntsville?
So. Huntsville. That's the one.
There we go.
Stand up live there. I'm doing the Zanies in Nashville. Jeremiah Watkins is with me on all these tour dates except for Nashville, where Ralphie May is going to be featuring for me.
All right. Yeah. And where can people go to?
TonyHinchcliffe.com or OutbreakPresents.com. And yeah, rock and roll. Check out the Kill Tony episodes in which your one of your co-hosts, Theo Vaughn, has been a guest on. Mm-hmm. We always have fun.
Really entertaining podcast, man. As you hear people try their dreams on stage 1 minute at a time.
Congrats on that. Congrats on all of it. Because anything that I've learned, you work for it, dude. And you earned it. And when I hear someone drive a nice car but say, but... you know, I didn't have a nice car and I worked my ass off to get this nice car. I like it a lot.
Thanks, man.
I pat you on the back for that.
Thank
you.
That
Outbreak tour, when you hear Outbreak, what do you got? I mean, Outbreak has a whole different connotation kind of in the gay community.
like herpes? Yeah,
I mean, whatever.
I'm doing my Outbreak tour in Philadelphia.
I'm from Philadelphia.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Guys, guys. Look, let's keep it classy here.
And good luck with the special.
Thank you.
We can't wait to see that. And thank you for coming in.
Of course,
and
my
thank
pleasure.
You everybody for listening, and thank you, Theo, for showing up.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Happy to be here. Anthony, thank you for your help. Matt, from Allegedly, thank you guys.
Bye guys. See you next time.